Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Shlach Revi'i, the fourth Aliyah in Shlach Lecha. Our Aliyah is made up of 27 psukim and runs from Perek Yud Dalet in Bamidbar, Pasuk Chavav to Perek Tezov, Pasuk Zayin. The main idea of our Aliyah are 3 points. That's the verdict Hashem gives to the Meraglim and to the people of Israel. Number 2 is the Ma'apilim, the group who went and led a attack on Israel, and finally the wine libations, Nesach, the Nesachim. So a basic summary of the Aliyah, and then some points to ponder. In the terms of the verdict, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now turns to Moshe and says, until when will this bad people complain against me? When will this people stop bothering, complaining to me? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell them the following, that he's going to take an oath that they will get what they asked for. What did they ask for? They said that we want to be buried in this desert. So he says, well, you'll get what you asked for. Everybody who's 20 years and above, every male who's 20 years and above, will die except for Kalev and Yosha. But the children, your children, he says to Bnei Israel, who you said, Levaziyeh, who would be spoils to the enemy if they were to conquer the land of Israel, ironically, they will be the ones who enter in the land of Israel, the land which you despised. And Hashem makes a very clear equation. There'll be 40 years of wandering for that generation to end their length of longevity for the 40 days that the Meraglim spent touring the land of Israel. And the actual Meraglim themselves would die immediately of a plague. Moshe Rabbeinu gave this report to Bnei Israel. They mourned greatly. That's a description of what's going on here. You can clearly see in the way that the report is given that Hashem is saying it is midah keneged midah. It's very precise. The 40 to 40, the request they made to die in the desert, everything is coming full circle. Then we hear the next part of the Aliyah is about the Ma'apilim. There's a group of people who got up early the next morning to ascend the mountain with the intent of entering and conquering the land of Israel because they knew they had sinned. And Moshe Rabbeinu begs them not to, and he says, Hashem is not with you. It's not going to work. Don't fight the enemy or you'll get killed. They still tried. They went into fight, but they did not have the Aron, the Ark of the Covenant. They did not have Moshe with them. And they were, in fact, beaten down by the Canaanites and the Amalekim until a place called Chorma. That's the end of the Ma'apilim. And finally, we have the section of the wine libations, where we hear that when Israel will enter in the land of Israel and they bring korbanos, sacrifices as a neder or nedava, which is different types of donations, not obligatory korbanos, then if it is an ox or a sheep, it's accompanied with a meal offering of one isaron, that's a measure, and a wine libation of a quarter of a hin of wine. If it is a ram, it is accompanied by a meal offering of two isaron, and a wine libation of a third of a hin of wine. That's the summary of the Aliyah. Let's take a look at some of the points to ponder on this Aliyah. Question number one is, what halacha do we learn from this section? A fascinating halacha is learned over here, as Rashi quotes the Gemara Megillah Daf Chof Gimel, that we learn from the first pasuk in this Aliyah, about already the second pasuk in this Aliyah, the halacha of minyan. The pasuk reads, Ad Mosai lo eda hara hazois. Until when do you have this bad community, congregation? The word eda actually is parallel to Korach, parallel to the Meraglim, and we learn from here that the word eda is 10, because eda refers to the Meraglim, who were the bad Meraglim. There were 12 Meraglim, but 10 of them were bad, and so we know that the basic format for a minyan is 10 people. Now, the Torah couldn't find an easier place to learn about a minyan. Why does it have to go to find the Meraglim as the example of it? As I heard once from my chevrusa, Rabbi Tzvi Davidson, many years ago, that he pointed out that if the Torah had given the highest bar, the most pristine group of 10 people, then we would have discriminated against anybody we felt weren't living up to the same laurels. But when it comes to the description of how a minyan works, we're talking about people who lost their chelik in the olam abo, their share in the world to come. Very, very serious and egregious sinners. And therefore, if we can say that that is the format of a minyan, of where Hashem is to find his presence and allow his presence to be expressed in this world, then it's certainly anybody else can be included in the minyan. We're not going to discriminate. That's a very fascinating perspective. Now, Hashem makes this curse and this verdict that everybody's going to die in the desert from the age of 20 years and above. How exactly does that work? The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, tells us, in the name of Dimi Bar Yosef, in the name of Rav Nachman, that the way it worked is the following. that every year, the Rashbam quotes a Midrash in Eicha, which explains this more explicitly, that every year at the night of Tisha B'Av, which was the anniversary of when they first cried about not going to the land of Israel, on that night everybody dug graves for themselves, lay in their graves, and the next morning they would get up and 15,000 and change would have died that night as a part of this verdict that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. And if you add that up over the year, 39 years, remaining years, you will have 600,000 plus souls who were essentially lost over the period of this time. So it was aggregated around the time of Tisha B'Av. Fascinating, the Gemara is describing over there that when they got into their graves on the 40th year and they waited the night, they found that nobody had died that night. And they thought it was a mistake. They maybe got the wrong date. So they tried it again and again. They slept in their graves until they saw the moon above them, the full moon, and they realized that, in fact, the decree had been finished. And that's when they celebrated. And that was on Tu B'Av, which is why Tu B'Av is special. That's the context of the Gemara in Bava Basra there. It's also worthwhile noting in that Gemara in Bava Basra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak directly to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Meraglim, all the way until the end of this curse, which means that yes, Hashem will speak in Korach, in Chukas, you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, but nonetheless, it will be more indirect, not per el per, not be as lucid as his usual prophecy, as a function of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. So it's a very serious decree which has multiple ramifications. Now, let's go back to the parasha. What does the word ma'apil mean, these ma'apilim? Rashi says it's a loshon choizek. These are people who are expressing great strength by going forward and trying to conquer the land, even though they do not have the divine request. The Haimek Dover points out, quoting the Rashi, the inner Rashi, which says it's a loshon of oifel, of chasheichim, of darkness, he points out that in fact this is to their credit, that they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to help them, and yet they felt that it was necessary for them to be moiser nefesh, for them to sacrifice themselves in order to do this, even without the knowledge that they'll be saved. Similar to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who did not have the guarantee of coming out of the kiln alive, and nonetheless they threw themselves in. That's what we see over here. Why are the libations, the Nesachim, put as the first halachic parasha after the Meraglim? We'll discuss that in the next Aliyah as that parasha continues. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.